Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series talking about the believer's authority, and we're now towards the end of my second week of teaching on this. So I've already covered a lot of materials. I encourage you to take advantage of the offers that we're making. We've got a brand new book out entitled The Believer's Authority. We've got a study guide that's nearly 400 pages. We've also got DVDs, CDs on it. And I've already covered a lot of material talking about how that there is a spiritual warfare, and one of the reasons that people are not seeing more victory in their life is because they're trying to deal with things on a human level, thinking it's just people that is opposing them. It's just natural things that make them sick. It's just physical things that cause them financial problems. And there are actually spiritual forces at work. Not everything is a demon, but there are some things that are a demon. And so you've got to recognize you're in a warfare. And then this week, I've been trying to establish that Satan's authority and power that he has is not superhuman. He doesn't have an angelic power and authority that is superior to us, and that, you know, we are just totally inadequate in the natural, and then we have to use the supernatural name of Jesus to overcome him. Now, that's basically how most people think. But what I've been sharing is that Satan actually only has human authority and power. I've made some statements, and what I want to do today is go into some scriptures and to begin to start explaining this scripturally and show you some of these things. First of all, let me counter what is, I believe, probably the most predominant view of Satan and how he rebelled against God and how he got his authority. This is what I believe, and this is what I believe most people just assume, is that, of course, God created everything, all angels, everything was created by God. So therefore, Lucifer, the anointed angel that's referred to in I believe it's Isaiah chapter 14, was created by God. And then people believe that he rebelled at God and tried to overthrow God. And they may not use this terminology, but they basically believe that Satan just marshaled one third of the angels and charged the throne of God and tried to rebel. And of course, God overcame him, and so he was cast down. And he became this demonic force that we now know as Satan, the god of this world. And most people believe that he was on the earth. And now it splits into different, doctrines about how this happened. But one of the most popular doctrines is that Satan actually existed on this earth and was the master of a creation. Not of a creation, but of a kingdom. He was a master of a kingdom that was pre-Adamic, before the time of Adam and Eve, and that God destroyed the earth and took away Satan's kingdom, left him in existence, but Satan was already in existence, and therefore he came against Adam and Eve in the garden. And actually, what happened in Genesis chapter 1, where it says God created the heavens and the earth, and then the next verse says, the earth was void and without form. Most people interpret that as the earth became void. And they say God never created anything void. There's even one scripture that says that I did not create the earth in vain. And they take that word vain for being void and say, therefore, God created the earth intact and that there was a civilization that existed for millions or eons before the time of Adam and Eve. God destroyed them and started over in Genesis 1:2 is actually a recreation of the earth. Now, the reason that this is attractive to some people is because it just helps answer some questions. Where did demons come from? And people believe that they were people from this pre-Adamic civilization that were fallen and worked with Satan. So that answers a question. It doesn't mean it's the right answer, but it provides some answer. And then also people believe that this reconciles the antiquity of the earth that all of the scientists come up with, that the earth is hundreds of millions of years old, with the biblical account where it says that since the fall of Adam, it doesn't tell us how long since the creation until Adam fell, but since the fall of Adam, it's been less than 10,000 years. and this doesn't fit the scientific models. And so people think that this is attractive to show that the earth has existed and all of these things. Maybe dinosaurs were part of this pre-Adamic civilization. First of all, let me just say some things. That this whole concept that Satan took one-third of the angels and threw them to the earth, this is all based on Revelation chapter 12, where it's talking about Satan. It's using an allegory here, and it talks about the dragon, that the dragon was thrown to the earth, and he took with his tail one-third of the stars and threw them to the earth. Now, it does say this in Revelation chapter 12 and in verse 9. It says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan." So even though this is symbolism, it clarifies who it's talking about. This is the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So it does say that this was Satan and his angels. But you know what? This is the only reference in Scripture that there was one-third of the stars. And again, that's used in symbolism. I'm not absolutely convinced that that's talking about one-third of all of the angels revolted with the devil. And let me just make this point. Since, as far as I can understand, and I've studied the Word a lot, I cannot find another reference that puts some quantity or quality on how many demons or angels rebelled with the devil. I can't find that in Scripture. So this is the only time. That is not a valid method of Bible interpretation. To take something with one reference that is symbolism in the first place and say that this is exactly how many angels rebelled with the devil, I think that that's not good Bible interpretation. If you're going to interpret the Scripture that way, you can make the Bible say anything you want to. If you just take an isolated passage of Scripture, especially one where it's using symbolism, and just make an emphatic truth and hang something on that. So my first thing is that I am not sure exactly where the demons came from and how many there were. And I reject the thought that Satan, with one-third of the angels, even if that was accurate and there were one-third of the angels that rebelled with him, I reject the thought that Satan and one-third of the angels could overcome God, who still retained two-thirds of the angels. You know, that doesn't make sense. I don't believe it would work if Satan had 100% of the angels, because all of those angels were created by God, and all of the power that they had, God is the one that created them. I don't believe you can create something that is bigger and more powerful than you. God is the top of the food chain. It wouldn't have mattered if 100% of the angels had rebelled with the devil. I don't believe that they could have made a frontal attack on God and have tried to overthrow his kingdom. Now, I believe that Satan is stupid, but not dumb. I don't know if that's the right way to phrase that. I don't believe that anybody who fights against God is too smart, but at the same time, he's not dumb enough to just make a frontal attack on God. I don't believe that that's how it happened. I don't believe that he rebelled some way. Here's what I believe, and I'm going to show you some scriptures on this. I believe that Satan existed in his angelic form, Lucifer, according to Isaiah chapter 14, I believe it's verse 12. And I believe that he was there, as it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, that all the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. Angels are actually to serve and minister to the believers. And I believe that Satan, actually Lucifer at that time, was in the Garden of Eden in his godly state before his rebellion, there to serve Adam and Eve. And now, I'm going to show you some scriptures on this, but let me just make this point. If that be true, this would answer a major concern for me. Because I used to wonder about if Lucifer had already rebelled and become Satan, and if he was this vicious, vile, demonic power that had angelic authority and wisdom and all of these things, and if God, why did God allow him to be in the Garden of Eden? And of course, the obvious answer to that would be, well, man had to have a choice. But to me, that would be like putting your children out in the backyard with a vicious lion, or something like that. and say, well, we're going to put our 2-year-old out there and see if they can overcome a lion. You know, that's child abuse. That's irresponsible. Why would you put your children in a position where they were up against this superior power, this vicious animal, beast, personality that was coming against them? People protect their children and do more than that. It just seems inconsistent to me that God, and He had to have allowed, if Satan had already rebelled and if he was already in his fallen state in this terrible evil being, God would have had to have allowed him to be in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve didn't do anything to cause it. You would have had to make God responsible, and the only way I could understand that is that He was just going to give them a choice between good and evil. But boy, what a terrible thing to put your innocent, naive creation there with a demonic power. That just doesn't seem right. I believe that Satan wasn't Satan yet. He was still Lucifer. He was this angel who was serving and ministering to Adam and Eve in a positive way. And when he saw that God gave an unconditional power and authority to Adam and Eve to rule the earth, the Lord didn't put any fine print with it. He didn't say, as long as you do the right thing, I'll let you govern my creation. No, He just gave this to them without any qualifications. You know, if I had a pen in my pocket or something, then I said, here, this is yours. I give it to you. Do whatever you want to. I might want you to use it to write with. I might want you to keep it, and every time you see it, remember me and think of me. I might have all kinds of desires, but if I gave it to you and said, it's yours, do with it what you want to. If you wanted to take the thing and throw it away, if you wanted to break it into pieces, if you wanted to give it to somebody else, if I truly gave it to you and it was yours, then it's yours, and you can do whatever you want to with it. I know that one time I gave a car to a guy, and this car had been a brand new car to us. It was given to us, and we gave it to one of my employees. And by the time we gave it to him, I think we had driven it for 4 years, 3 years or 4 years. And so, you know, it had some mileage on it, but it was still in great shape. It was the best car we ever owned at the time. And I gave it to this employee, and he was really blessed. He needed a car. But after a short period of time, he came to me and he says, you know what I would really like to do? I would like to trade this car in and use it on a down payment on another car. And he came to me and asked if he could do that. And I told him, I said, hey, it's your car. If you want to park it out in front of the building and charge $10 a whack with a sledgehammer, it's yours. You can do what you want to with it. I signed it over to you. I said, it's not mine. You don't have to get my permission. But see, he was thinking that maybe I would somehow or another control the way he did it. No, I gave it to him. There were no strings attached. If I gave you my pen, you can do with it whatever. God gave the control over this earth to mankind, and it was an unconditional gift. It had no strings attached. And here's my personal opinion. I think that Satan, all of his power and authority that he had, was delegated by God and only operative as long as he was doing what God wanted him to. If he would have tried to use this power that God gave him to rebel at God, I believe that God could have wiped him out. Of course, the Creator retains more power than the creation. I believe that if Satan had had 100% of the angels rebel with him, God could have overcome them all and have killed them all, wiped them out, chained them in some place, could have done something. I don't think that that was doable. But here's what I think happened. I think that when God gave this authority to man, an unconditional, unqualified authority, I think Satan saw a chink in the armor of God. God had now given power and authority unconditionally to a creation. And even though this scripture wasn't written, it was in the heart of God. All of the truths about God that the Word of God reveals were already in existence. The Word of God didn't make God who He was. It just reported on who He was. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That says that whoever you yield to, you make them the master. Whether it's sin to the author of sin, which is Satan, or whether it's to righteousness to God, who is the author of righteousness. That scripture wasn't written yet, but it was already a reality. That was the heart of God, and that's the way that God was. That was His nature and character, and He wouldn't deviate from it. I believe that Lucifer knew that once God gave this unconditional authority to mankind, that if Lucifer could get Adam and Eve to submit of their own free will, now he might lie to them and deceive them, but nonetheless, they would submit to him. Then, to whom they yield themselves, he becomes the master. Satan saw that if I can get Adam and Eve to yield to me, then I gain this unconditional authority that God gave to man. In a sense, you could say it this way, that the authority God gave to mankind was actually superior to the authority that angels have. Because there is nothing in Scripture that really says one way or the other, but I don't believe that Satan had unconditional authority. And God gave unconditional authority to man. So in that sense, it was superior. It was superior power and authority. And Satan saw that if he could get us to yield to him, then we would turn over this power and authority that God gave mankind to rule the earth to Satan. And in a sense, we made Satan. God made Lucifer, this angelic being, who we're going to read some scriptures about this over in Ezekiel chapter 28. But God created this godly being that was there to serve mankind. In a sense, mankind is the one that created Satan. Lucifer had no power against mankind or against God. And even if somehow, now again, I'm speculating to some degree, and even if Lucifer's power was somehow or another something that he could retain, it was still inferior to God's power. There's no way that he could just accost God, make a frontal attack and overcome him. What he did was, in a sense, mankind were given this authority by God. God loved man so much. We were created in His image. According to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, we were created for His pleasure. And Satan, Lucifer, knew that God loved mankind so much that if he could get mankind to yield to him and give him that authority, then God would have been unjust to come down here and wipe out Satan and not wipe out Adam and Eve, because they were complicit in this rebellion. They knew what they were doing. It says over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it's verse 15, that the woman was deceived, but the man wasn't deceived. The woman fell into this by deception. But it says in Genesis chapter 2 that she took of the fruit and ate and gave to her husband that was with her. The temptation, the dialogue in Genesis chapter 2 is between the serpent and Eve, but it makes it very clear that Adam was there. He heard what was going on. He didn't take his authority. He didn't intervene. And once Eve passed from death to life, I'm kind of guessing here his motive, but I think that Adam loved Eve so much that she was deceived. She didn't realize she was going to die. The serpent had deceived her and she believed a lie. But once she experienced it, and once she passed from life to death, Adam knew what was going on. He saw the death. He knew that she had died. He knew that she was now in death and he was in life. And Adam loved her so much that he chose to die with her rather than be separated from her. And he was not deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew the word that God had given him. He had seen it work in Eve, and he chose to die with Eve rather than live without her. And so it says in 1 Timothy 2:15 that the woman was deceived, but the man was not deceived. He was in the transgression. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he willfully submitted himself to Satan, therefore making Satan his master, transferring the authority to rule this earth to Satan. And Satan became the god of this world through men. We created Satan, not God. God didn't create this evil being and put him down here just to see if his creation could somehow or another overcome him. No, God sent his very best down here. As a matter of fact, let me read some of these verses in Ezekiel chapter 28. It says in verse 11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him." Now, as we read through this, it's going to be very obvious. This isn't talking about a physical man, because it ascribes all kinds of supernatural traits to him. He was in the Eden, the garden of God, and all of these other things that didn't apply to this physical man who is the king of Tyrus. This is actually talking about the principality and the power that was working through this man. I already taught on that last week about how Jesus spoke to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." He was pointing his finger at Peter, but he was talking to Satan. Satan works through people. And the same thing was done in Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10, especially where the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood the messenger, etc. So this is, even though it's written about the king of Tyrus, it's actually talking to Lucifer, the demonic power, Satan, the demonic power that was operating through him. So again, in verse 12, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Again, that physical man, the king of Tyrus, hadn't done this, but the demonic power had been in Eden, the garden of God. And then the rest of this verse describes him in Eden, how he was. And it says, "Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." Now that's a little wordy, but I've read some commentaries on this, and most people believe that this is describing Lucifer, again, this spiritual being that was working through the king of Tyrus. And he was in Eden, and it's describing him in his perfect state, still adorned by all of these beautiful emerald and gold and all of these things. And it says, "The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes," that's talking about musical instruments, "was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." Most scholars that I've read about this believe that Lucifer was like an angelic being that was the leader of the worship in heaven, and he literally had pipes and musical instruments built into him. You know, similar to the way that our voice, we can sing and make these beautiful sounds, he had literally the sounds of instruments and things that functioned in his body, and that's what this is describing. In verse 14, it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub." Now again, this is another indication this isn't just talking about the physical man, but about the spiritual power. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." And you know what? I'm running out of time. I'm not going to be able to finish this today. So, you need to tune in tomorrow to get the rest of this, or I would suggest that you get the book, the study guide, all of the materials that we're offering. But I'm trying to get across that Satan had not been created yet when Adam and Eve fell. I believe that Lucifer was the one that was created by God. He was an angelic being sent there to help them and to bless them. But he got Adam and Eve to rebel, and when they did, they transferred their authority to him. They're the ones that made him the god of this world. In that sense, man made Satan. Praise God. That's awesome. You know, listen in again tomorrow so that I can share some more with you, and also listen to our announcer as they give you some information about how you can get these materials.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Request book T735. The Believer's Authority Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T427 when you contact the ministry. Andrew's complete teaching titled, "The Believer's Authority," was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C or DVD album T1045D when you contact us. The second teaching in the audio CD album titled Who Made Satan is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching number TL19 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I've said a lot of things on our program today that I know has probably got you thinking and wanting to search things out. And I've got a lot more to share. That's the reason we're offering these materials. But our website really is one of the best things. I've actually got my Bible commentary on there that you can download. You can get thousands of verses that I've written comments on in the Scriptures. And you can download that onto your computer. I've got hundreds of my teachings that are available. 10 years worth of television, about 14 years worth of radio programs on there. I've got just about everything I know on that website, and you could have access to all of it. Most of it is free. So I encourage you to check it out. The address is on your screen, and go to our web address today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar May 7th through the 9th and in Amsterdam, Holland for the Eurospirit Conference May 21st through the 23rd. He'll also be in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth seminar June 11th through the 13th and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd for our Summer Family Bible Conference.